Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 609.5 up 2.25. July, 601.75 up 1.5. Soft May wheat, 558.75 up 2.5. July, 562.25 up 2.5. March soybeans are 1275.75 up 3/4. July, 1245.5 down 0.5. November, 1092.25 down 5. March corn, 431.5 down 2. July, 441.5 down 2. December, 448.25 down 2. March soybean meal, 427 up 180. March soybean oil, 36.92 down 15. February live cattle, 142.22.5 up 7.5. March feeders, 169.55 up 85. And February lean hogs are 86.27.5 and they are down 10 cents.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And along with our great panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain markets, we'll hear Sue Martin's agricultural outlook. Murray Wise will give us the lowdown on land values in 2014. And we'll get everyone up to speed on the commodity title of the new farm bill. The cost is $30 and includes a continental breakfast, beef house lunch, and 25th anniversary commemorative hat. Guarantee your spot. Register now at 217-333-7300 with your major credit card and we'll mail your tickets. That's 217-333-7300. And thank you very much for that in advance. On the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Interesting week we've had, and an interesting month as well. I took a peek at monthly charts this morning, and I'm beginning to wonder if I'm coming away with an idea that low prices in the corn market are carrying low prices.
I think that the futures in the cash market continue on the path of least resistance, and I think this week maybe a little bit of a watershed week in terms of the sentiment of the trade being a lot more clear, Dave, because if you look at the March corn, March beans, March wheat compared to new crop futures, the new crop has pulled down the old crop. And I think this is a story that I continue to hear from the bearish traders, those who are talking about big acreage for corn in 2014 and disregarding the 77 or 76 million bushels of export sales and the huge exports of ethanol for the month of December. And I think they're in the mindset and continue to trade the mindset in futures. Let's go ahead and continue the path lower, have new crop, pull the old crop down, not look at the demand side because there's going to be new crop supplies that come on board here to take care of this extra demand. I think nothing wrong with that as long as you have perfect weather in the new crop. And so what I'm getting at is that you can go down this path, I think, until the end of March, until we get to the acreage numbers and the stocks report. But I think by the time we get there, if we don't have really ideal planting weather set up and really ideal weather for the wheat belt as we come out of dormancy, you're going to have a potential shock to the market to the upside to have to push weather premium into new crop futures. That means all of a sudden the old crop becomes more valuable as well.
Well, I think maybe there's a couple of windows. There's the window that you mentioned, and there's already a lot of people who, including some of our meteorologists, who are doing some research and suggesting that it could be a late spring, a cold spring, based on this winter. So there's that window, but there's also maybe a little, if you haven't done a lot of marketing, there might be a window here in the next couple of weeks for corn, it seems like.
Yeah, first thing is I think that the private consultation and weather guys that I work with, both the primary and the secondary ones, are suggesting the exact same thing, that this is not a pattern, especially in the eastern and central corn belt, that we're going to be able to get out of relatively quickly, that most of February will probably continue this. And the fact that we're going to stay cooler than normal seems to be gaining traction. And so I think that gives the idea that the eastern central corn belt will have a potential for slower plantings, and while the western corn belt has a potential for quicker plantings if the temperatures are warm enough, because it looks like we're going to remain dry west of the Mississippi, and the drought monitor map this week certainly suggests the same thing. And I think your other point is resonating with the trade right now as well, that we are heading into the baseline report. The USDA puts out their big baseline numbers a day or two before the 20th, 21st meeting here in February, and the trade's already ramping up for big corn and big bean acres. And that may be accurate. You know, I'm not disputing that at all, but I think, again, it goes back to, if you're pushing exports and corn out the door at this pace, and the domestic demand stays this strong, you could work your export figure from 1.4 or 1.5 billion all the way up to 1.8, because that's not odd. In fact, the last 5 years average, other than the 2012 drought year, we averaged 1.9 billion bushels of corn exports. So you're going to need some extra acres to keep above 1.5 billion carryover next year in corn. So this is where, between now and the baseline report, you could indeed see the cash market do the heavy lifting. If we would get above 435 in March corn, I think that'd be a technical breakout that would give you a quick 10 to 15 cent move up as well, and all of a sudden you're dealing with close to 450 on the futures market as well.
So keep an eye on those charts, particularly in the next few weeks, looking for that. In soybeans, it seems to me spreads are what you probably want to be looking at for indications of where to go.
Yeah, bull spread was reawakened this week, especially with fewer Chinese cancellations on yesterday's reports. The trade feels like it's back in a rationing mode, probably going to continue on that path until we get the next supply-demand report here in the not-too-distant future, just a little over a week away at this stage. But we did see the Brazil attaché raise the Brazilian crop. We see ports in Brazil loading beans or starting to load beans. And AgroConsult said that Brazil is probably going to be about 40% completed in bean harvest by the end of next month, by the end of February. So we are looking at bigger supplies coming on. And so at some point, that spread, that July Nov bean spread especially, and the May Nov bean spread especially, may turn on us and may break in the front end relative to the new crop, and I think that's something, indeed, you're right, we want to be watching closely.
And I think with the Lunar New Year, we have a week blackout about what kind of information we're going to get relative to export sales. It's going to be 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks from now, give Brazil another couple of weeks to be at it, and all of a sudden we could see more than one cancellation of Chinese beans, which is what we got yesterday's report.
Yeah, and I don't think the PED virus is going away. Now, that can be offset some by heavier feeding weights of hogs, and that can help. But I think the other thing that isn't going to help us too much is the avian flu. If that continues to work worse in this next month and work higher in terms of the number of cases in the live poultry markets over there in Hong Kong, Shanghai, and in China mainland, then we're going to continue to hear more about that. And that could end up hurting us in that March-April time period for the meal demand especially.
And meal demand in the U.S. too, because we were getting reports because of the lack of propane. We're not getting chick sets because folks aren't able to turn the temperature up high enough.
That's exactly right. And so these are things that don't really matter to the market right here, right now, but in the actual NOPA crush reports and the you know, future demand side of the feed and the meal numbers, we may start to see these numbers sneak down on us by the USDA, because we see something in the April, March, April, May time period that would correspond also to tightening hog numbers in terms of actual slaughter numbers as well. So, you know, the hogs and meal market have had this very nice, pretty clear inverse relationship. One goes up, one goes down. And that probably is going to continue here for the next 30 days. But here again, like the bean spread, I'd be watching for that to slip on us. And if one goes down, the other one might join us as well.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.